Another big story that we're watching, of course, is in Australia, where one of the largest evacuations in the country's history is now underway, as dangerous fire conditions are expected to get even worse this weekend. The Australian Defence Force is rescuing hundreds of people in coastal areas by sea, and on land, roads are backed up as others try to flee. At least 19 people have been killed since the fire season started early in September. Luke Henriquez Gomez is following this for The Guardian in Melbourne. We spoke yesterday, and I asked him about the scale of that evacuation effort.
It's incredibly complex. So in the 1970s, Australia suffered a massive cyclone called Cyclone Tracy. There were about 60,000 people evacuated or flown out of Darwin as a result of that. This is expected to rival that in terms of an evacuation.
And for those people who decide to stay put, what kind of dangers are they facing?
The past few weeks are anything to go by, their lives are likely to be at risk in some isolated communities. The state governments of New South Wales and Victoria have declared states of emergencies, which allows them to forcibly evacuate people from the area. Usually in these bushfire seasons, people have the decision to stay in their community and try and protect their homes. But in many cases now, they won't be given that opportunity, essentially because the government acknowledges that they won't be able to save those people if the fire front tears through those towns.
The flames are the immediate danger, but what about the smoke and the air quality across the entire country?
That's, I think, one of the most striking things for us in Australia at the moment. We're quite used to bushfires. It's a part of life for many people living in more regional communities and rural communities. But the smoke has, for people in Sydney and also in the capital, Canberra, become a real problem. Over the past week, Canberra has at least twice been the city with the worst air quality in the world, according to the Air Quality Index, which is a fairly surprising or shocking thing for a modern city with almost no industry at all. It's basically a city built on the bureaucracy. And so we also, this week, we've also heard news that one woman reportedly died stepping off a plane in Canberra. She was an elderly woman, but her relatives have said that they believe the smoke was a cause or a factor in her death, which was put to down to a sort of respiratory problems that she had after stepping off the plane.
Wow. You know, we spoke yesterday on this show about Prime Minister Scott Morrison getting ridiculed and mocked as he was meeting with Australians there near the scene of these fires for not doing enough in response. Does it appear to you today that the government is starting to get the message that more should be done if the people are to be kept safe and happy?
I think that's a difficult question to answer because the government, or and particularly the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, have held a fairly consistent line. And so whether or not the government does change course, I guess I'm talking about perhaps both a change or a bolstering of the climate change policies, but also more money and resources for the fire services which are fighting these fires, that remains to be seen.
Luke, there's no question this is a human disaster, but we're also seeing these pictures and these videos of the animals, the wildlife, people giving water to injured and thirsty koalas, you know, kangaroos running through flames. What can you tell us about what impact this fire might have on the wildlife in the area?
Well, essentially, it is incredibly shocking impact. And in one coastal town in Victoria, they have been receiving koalas that are injured and trying to treat those koalas at the same time that that town is in its own humanitarian crisis. That town is essentially completely isolated. There's no way to get in or out except by the sea.
What part of this story is keeping you up at night as you watch it all unfold?
It's a really good question, Peter. I guess it does come down to the danger that people in these isolated communities are in, and the fact that ultimately when the fire comes to them, that they have nothing that they can do except wait, either in their homes or outside their homes, protecting their homes. Or in the case of some images that we saw around New Year's Eve, people were flocking to the beach because there was nowhere else to go. They were basically expected to hunker down on the sand or get into boats and perhaps get into the water as the flames drew closer and closer. That's fairly terrifying, and that is unprecedented in Australia. We've had some really tragic bushfires. You know, one in 2009 claimed the lives, about 180 lives. But we haven't had the fires in so many places converging on towns that are isolated and then blocked off for, in what we are told in some of these towns, will be 3-4 weeks without being able to get in or out. So I guess the isolation that the people in those towns are facing is really quite frightening and puts the whole thing into perspective.
Indeed, yeah. Luke Henriquez Gomez is a reporter for The Guardian based in Melbourne. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Again, the forecast this weekend calls for extremely hot and windy conditions in eastern Australia, so we will hope for the best.